this is
they can hear
special,
me. On
yes,
the...
everyone can hear you because it's a special Titanfall edition of Left 4 Dead.
Defiled toothbrush.
Because it's their time. Their time. Up there. Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
You say that I'm eccentric, but it's really kind of cool with me. The evening is electric, so let's light up our eternity.
This is our time to light up the sky. Dancing with the devil because it keeps me alive. Hold your breath because we're coming to your town. Never see the sun because we're rolling it down. This is our time.
Hey guys, what's up? It's the Left 4 Dead podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm Ted. We got Nick playing Titanfall right now. So if you hear any weird like screaming or anything, that's Nick. John's here.
How's it going?
John's
going
to make this podcast very interesting. I know what he has in store. And Ryan is yelling at his Kinect on Skype.
Oh, man. I don't know what's more interesting, that or the fact that like you just made my girlfriend a happy girl, Ted. I mean... She loves Big Bang Theory, and she loves Clue, Big Bang Theory Clue. I text her a picture, and she goes, I gotta play that. And I'm like, yeah, I know you do.
Don't play it drunk.
I think as she saw that pic, I think when she saw a picture, I think that automatically got her wet. Ted, congratulations.
Yeah. You're very welcome. I got your girlfriend wet.
Yeah. I'm getting some tonight, thank you. Looks like I have to put the Sheldon mask on.
That just gave me an image I never needed. Thank you.
Just like knocking on her. Jamie.
you just hit her in the head 3 times, Jamie.
Start doing sex, play knocking on the door. Jamie. I have an equation for you. God.
All right, so... Yeah, I'm going to start this off with a thing I shared on Facebook earlier. I'm not sure if anyone saw it. Apparently, a guy just sold his entire video game collection, which was composed of almost every single video game ever made or put out in the United States, for $750,000. I personally think he got gypped.
Yeah, he did.
I think a collection like that is worth at least $3 million.
By the way, happy anniversary, Ted.
Oh, thank you. Not until next week. But
all right. Yeah. Happy early anniversary. Yeah, thanks. No, I think he got gypped, though, too. That's,
yeah, like, on the article, it does say that it was appraised for between $750,000 and $800,000, which you see the picture, and he's got in-box Xbox 360, in-box Neo Geo. He's got some other like really rare items that by themselves are a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
All right. I know for a fact that my collection, if I was to sell it now at anywhere but GameStop, it would probably be about $3,000 right now for my entire collection.
What are you trying to say? Besides, like, GameStop will give you $250 in some pocket lint.
Yeah. I don't even think GameStop for my collection would go over the $100 mark right now for my entire collection. That is including both Xbox 360s, the PS3, both Xbox Ones. I don't think I'd reach $100.
We'll give you $50 in store credit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
And that includes my
phone. Right now, there's a trade-in bonus. If you did it towards a PS4, you would get an extra 50%. You might actually buy that PS4 for your entire collection.
Yeah, I might actually get a PS4.
So trade up like 6 game consoles for one. Seems legit. Seems like a fair trade up.
Exactly.
That's the GameStop way.
But I seriously think that this guy like traded everything into GameStop. According to different Facebook comments, this guy actually works for GameStop. He is a GameStop employee. That's how he was able to afford all these games in the first place.
Well, I was about to say, shouldn't he know about nickel and diming better than anybody?
Exactly. That was the other thing.
You know, I just feel that in the age of the internet, we don't have the whole story.
True. And I'm not sure if
like,
the story's
for example, he works at GameStop, that's why he bought all his games. The motherfucker's got a Playdia. It was a Japanese-only, Sega CD-esque video game system known for anime-based kind of like press right or left at the right time games. He didn't get that shit because he worked at a GameStop. Mm-hmm. When that system existed, there was only Funko Land.
Yeah. But, I mean, the entire wall next to him in this picture is all fucking Sega CD shit and Sega Saturn shit. So, I mean...
Who did he sell it to?
An anonymous buyer. I'm thinking the guy that appraised it is the anonymous buyer or the anonymous bidder.
Do you, well, like Ryan said, yeah, you know, you can't judge everything on the internet, exactly. And other stores, but like, let me judge it for this right now from the information I got going on. Like, it'd be dumb on him if he didn't at least get a second opinion, if he just went on this appraiser's, oh, yeah. Like, let's just assume this appraiser is the anonymous buyer. If this was his only, like, option, like, and he didn't see a second opinion, like, he says 750 to 800 grand. How much do you think it is? Like, and this guy's like, let me just throw money out. You know, at least 1.5 mil. And then he can go back to, like, no, this guy said 1.5 mil. So how about, like,
exactly.
Highball it, be like a million and see, I don't know. But
also, well, here's the other thing, that the entire collection went up for auction. It didn't go up.
Oh.
But I, you know, so I'm not sure, like, I didn't hear about it. If I heard about it, I would have taken the money that you and I were spending, we were trying to spend to get the Clippers. We'd put that towards it, but I think it was an auction.
So mad that Clippers deal fell through.
Yeah, I know. It was an auction and everything, and anyway, the $10 that we were putting towards the Clippers wasn't going to get us the Clippers anyway.
And that was like the third highest bid, though.
I know, that's the weird part. That was the weird part. We thought that we had it too. We started using racial slurs. I told you we should have brought Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, no. We're just making racial jokes.
You should have bought
it. Okay, this, just for perspective, guys, this is flawed because this doesn't take into account how much the consoles themselves sold for.
Oh,
but at $750,000 divided by the 11,000 games he says were in the collection, that'd be about $681 per game. If you balance out, yeah, he's got some rare games, with the fact that he's also probably got a shit ton of really crappy, worth 14 cents DS games, I don't think that's insurmountable.
No, that's true.
Oh, so you're saying he came out smelling like roses in the end, basically?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we can look at that collection and be like, oh, there's definitely some games in there that are selling online for, like, $400. But there's also games online you probably couldn't get somebody to take from you for free.
So you're basically saying for every, like, I don't know, let me throw out a game people love. Like, every Final Fantasy VII, there's going to be, like, five red factions in there?
Also, let's take into
account. Yeah, there's going to be, like, NCAA... 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's also take into account, now that Ryan's saying it, we don't know if he has the black case edition of Final Fantasy VII or the green case, which is worth $20.
Yeah.
You know, the black case edition is worth...
Collection like that, I bet he has the black case, but...
Probably.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he play them all, though, too? Because that could think...
Depreciate value as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying, too. If he played them all, then, like you said, that's a decrease.
I do love that in the article, the one video game that they reference in it is Cory in the House for the Nintendo 3DS.
So bad.
Yeah.
Just like, what?
I don't even know if that was in there. They're just like, we hope that was in there.
Yeah. I'm hoping that he got at least $500 for Shaq Fu.
Out of all the games you could have referenced, like out of all like the classic games, that's like, you know, but he has the Charlie's Angels PlayStation 2 game. I'm like, what? Yeah.
He's got Tomorrow Never Dies for the PlayStation 1.
He's got 007 Rogue Agent. Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess when Ryan puts it in math logic and real logic, it makes sense. I don't want to live in the real world.
Yeah, Rex, you got to think about we're geeking out over. We don't care that he has games like, you know, Barbie's Playhouse and like it's a Charlie's Angels. We're all thinking like, oh my god, video games. We're thinking about all the automatic, all the games we thought are good.
I'm
you
sitting
know?
There going, he's probably...
Yeah, we're like, look at all that import Saturn, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, he's probably got the entire Legend of Zelda collection with the collector's editions, the gold cartridges, and the gold disc.
Yeah,
with Master Quest.
Yeah, exactly. We don't think about like the.
Yeah, but he's also he's also probably got an Atari Jaguar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're
and a CDI.
We're thinking about
oh god.
We're thinking about like the 20 games that we think are good, expelling like the 25,000 games that are complete shit that, like you said, we probably couldn't even give away for free.
And you know, for all we know, he's also got like the Sonic collection or the Mario collection, and gave up the original Mario games or the original Sonic games.
Sonic is great. What are you talking about?
That's the other sad truth is, like, you look at that and you're like, man, that's a hell of a collection to have to say goodbye to. But on the other hand, too, like, the guy's a borderline millionaire now, and he could probably run 75% of that library on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true.
And you could probably buy it cheaper, too, on, like, Amazon and stuff, too. So are you really, like, hurting it here?
Oh, yeah. He's probably kept some of the games that are, like, quote-unquote sentimental to him.
Well, I want to know, what does he do? Like you said you heard a rumor he works for GameStop. I was looking at his other article. It says the dude buys, like, two games. Is that, like, what was it, like, a $3,000 a year gaming budget or something?
Yeah.
That seems a little hefty to me.
It does, but when you think about it this way. All right, it said that he works for GameStop, but it doesn't say what part of GameStop. He could be corporate.
I don't even have a $300 gaming budget, let alone $3,000, man.
I know. Well,
I'm not one to talk, seeing that in the last year I've gotten two fucking Xbox Ones. But
not every year is a console launch year. You know
yeah,
what I'm
he's
saying?
True. Like I said, like probably like the new get like all I've been buying were like year old, like Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2, like the Mass Effect trilogy. These games have been out like 5-6 years. Like, you know, like the recent game I think that I buy that was like recent just came out like fresh out like gaming with the gaming womb was like was Wolfenstein New Order. Yeah. I mean, so
I'm probably just going to save up my money just to buy the Halo Master Chief collection.
The Gordon Ramsay edition.
Because, yeah, the Master Chief Gordon Ramsay edition. Halo Master Chief.
<That'd be laughs> awesome.
Hold on, I'm looking for a picture. That has to be a thing.
By the way, Ted, for our half-yearly reviews, like, and now that I played actually a video game, like, if I could give my game of the year halfway point, it would be Wolfenstein New Order.
All right, we're going to have, like, when you're done with that game, I'm going to have to borrow
it. All right, yeah, it's good. Especially, like, I was either tempted to get that or Watch Dogs, and after some of the negative slants towards Watch Dogs, I'm like, you know what, I came out the winner in this.
I got to still let you borrow Halo 2. I know you're going to buy it later on this year.
Yeah.
But get used to the original graphics, and you go, oh my god, this is shit. Halo 2 compared to, like, Halo 3.
Yeah.
It looks completely different.
That's what I heard. I heard it's like basically it's like Halo 2 compared to that. It's like playing N64 compared to like wow, like
yeah, it's kind of weird because you go into like the cutscenes and the cutscenes are completely like rendered.
Yeah,
and you're just like oh, this looks not, okay, and now we're back to blocks.
Really, Microsoft?
Yeah,
we couldn't do any better than this.
And every once in a while, you get that little, like, Matrix flare, but it's in, like, purple.
But hey, though, from what I heard, like, people still hold to this day, Halo 2 multiplayer is the best that out there.
It is. It definitely is one of the best.
Master Chef Halo Kitchen Evolved.
So, now that we've gotten that out of our systems... I was going to do a so long thanks for all the fish, but nobody that we cared about fucking died.
Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn.
Huh? Not this week. What? Not that I've seen.
Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn of the San Diego Padres.
Of the San Diego Padres, yeah.
Alright, so somebody that John and Nick cared about died, but...
Well, Nick's not even a baseball guy. I'm surprised Nick caught on to that one.
Dude, what about Casey Kasem?
I pay attention to stuff.
Did he?
Dude, he died like 3-4 days ago.
I did not see anything about that. I was looking online trying to find deaths.
Wait, Shaggy died?
Yeah.
June 15th. Yeah, Shaggy slash...
slash Robin.
Slash Blur.
Yeah.
He was Blur, right, on Transformers?
I think so.
Let me say... All right. Tony Gwynn, 20 years with the same organization, San Diego. He grew up in the San Diego area. He's basically entrenched in there. All-star, batting champ, and he died of cancer at, like, the ripe age of, like, 54. Ooh. He blames chewing tobacco all those years, so, well...
See? Like tobacco will give you cancer. Do.
Oh, no. He was Cliff Jumper, Teletran 1, and Blue Streak.
Oh.
And he was also Mary in the Return of the King cartoon from the 80s.
Hmm. Okay. Well, then... Like,
I also now aware that Shaggy's last name is Rogers.
Yeah, I remember it was really weird because when they had like the Scooby-Doo meets Blink, and whenever he met Batman, Casey Kasem had to do double duty. Because he'd go through and just like, zoinks, it's Batman and Robin. And then Casey Kasem would run over to the other mic. Holy, whatever, Batman, it's Scooby-Doo.
Holy recreational drugs, Batman!
Which kind of sucks, because he was just having some really bad problems. He had dementia and everything.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Probably thought he was Shaggy at one point.
No, also...
Probably got that blurred.
I wish
he was 80-something, right?
Huh? He was 80-something. His kids were trying to get him into a hospital recently, and their stepmother... decided that while they were there with the court order and police, she was going to sit there and throw ground beef at them and quote the Bible.
What?
Yeah, look it up online. There's actually a video. I'll try and find the video and post it on the blog.
Do you think he went to his kids and, like, reminisced times like, oh, this reminds me of the time with Daphne and Thelma and the Mystery Machine. We had to solve the haunted, amusement park. And they're like, Dad, that never happened. That was a cartoon.
Possibility. Let me tell you a sad side story.
This picture of, like, Nero in the Star Trek reboot. I saw it happen. Don't tell me it didn't happen.
We found out it was old man Withers. Dad, that never happened. Yeah.
This one goes out to our friends at the Haunted Amusement Park. It's a sad, sad story.
This brings me back to the time, kids, that when me and Batman thwarted the Riddler's plan to poison the reservoir. Dad, that never happened.
And back to the top 40. All right, rest in peace, Casey Kasem.
Rest in peace. You magnificent bastard. Rest in peace, Tony Gwynn.
All right. And now this is the moment I've been waiting for, because I haven't really been able to do this, but I get to do it twice
this
week.
It's actually good what if.
Yeah, I get to do it twice this week.
What if.
I love that.
So me and Ryan were texting back and forth. Thank you, by the way, Ted, for Ryan's number. And we had a good discussion about it. So my thing is...
Wait. Ryan, when did you have time to text John between the 4 million text messages between myself, my wife, and probably various other people? Your fingers must be tired. Do you have carpal tunnel?
No, this wasn't today. This wasn't today.
Okay.
So we're...
It was like 4 days ago or something.
Yeah. Which, but so we're thinking about it, and we're like, as I was texting you, I found out, I was like, holy shit, EA, Capcom basically, they had some, like, defense plan or whatnot, that, like, in case if they were gonna go under or something like this, but, like, all the shareholders all voted against it, so they're like, yeah, we wouldn't mind being bought out, please, somebody, buy us in our debt. So this leads me to, what if, like, an EA or an Activision bought Capcom. You ready for Call of Evil?
Yeah. Call of Evil. Plants vs. Zombies, Resident Evil Edition.
Like, I was texting Ryan. I told you before the new Mass Effect to have a Chris Redfield DLC squadmate character. Yeah. Especially if you push back all the
Redfield. What if Disney bought it? Then Marvel's Capcom 4 confirmed.
Huh. Yeah, well, there you go.
I would just be ready for just the DLC character. Just have him bring back the annoying like Resident Evil 5 things. Instead, he goes, Shepard, Shepard, Shepard. Here.
He was. Did he just redo Resident Evil, but in Mass Effect?
Here.
Form?
Here, Shepard. Here's a first aid spray. What the hell? I got Medi-Gel. Get that shit out of here.
No, but think about this for a second. You redo Resident Evil, but like as Mass Effect. So you play as Chris and you have Jill and you get to like pick other like and then you have Commander Wesker at the beginning.
What would be like the Resident Evil version of the Normandy though where you can like go back and like talk to everybody?
Oh, Star's headquarters.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Raccoon City Police Department.
Yeah, exactly. The Raccoon City Police Department.
Well, like, oh my god, this glitching is pissing me off.
And there comes Nick playing Titanfall. The problem is that we've got so many internet devices going on right now that, like, Nick playing Titanfall.
I can't just see playing. I can't see like playing as Chris and going down to like your, you know, doing the investigate. Tell me about the dog kennels. Oh well, you see here, it's like, or was it? Well, tell me about the gun cabinet, Barry.
there's all that, but
what do green herbs do?
You know, random thought, John, but do you remember in Resident Evil 2, that guy, that gun shop or whatever early on, and if you're playing as Leon, he was just a dude, but if you played as Claire, he was, like, sexually harassing?
Oh, yeah, Kendo.
Okay.
He's like, hey, honey, come on in.
Yeah, didn't he, like, manufacture all the STARS guns and stuff?
Yeah,
I think so.
I remember that, like him doing the, hey, sweetheart, don't worry, Toots, you'll be safe with me. I'm like, ugh.
But yeah, that would be.
Yeah, but when you're playing as Leon, he's just like, hey, I guess you can come in.
But yeah, if EA took hold of this, we'd probably get like a BioWare Capcom mashup, no matter what. You know, it would happen. But you would also have, like, you know, Zombie Bejeweled or Mega Man Bejeweled. Fucking like PopCap shit.
Plants and Zombies versus Mega Man. You see him with the Mega Blast. I'm like, what? No.
Yeah, you know, that's what you'd have. You'd have like a plant with a Mega Blast, and you'd be able to customize your plants with like Mega Man, and why one would this have like a Ryu fucking.
That's what I'm saying. Why does this plant look like?
How about Reploids versus Mavericks?
why does this? I'm like, why does this plant look like Zero? Get out of here.
Yeah, I mean. Street Fighter would be horrible, though. Do you want to continue? $1! Because I don't know if anyone else has played an EA game over, like, the internet in the past couple of weeks. I'm saying weeks because that's when I noticed it. Plants vs. Zombies. You could earn your coins, or for $9.99, we'll give you 200,000 coins.
I'm totally not for a Street Fighter reboot, which, like, a Street Fighter EA in which Commander Shepard's, like, a playable character. I'm totally not into that.
I know that would happen. Oh, God.
I can't see Commander Shepard, like, Omni-Blade fucking Bison. Get out of here.
No, can you imagine, like, a Final Fight? Like, it would be Final Fight, but, you know, to get to the... You have to earn enough coins to get to the next level.
The sad part is, as much as we're, like, ranking on EA thing, I still think they do a better job with the Capcom license than Activision would, to be honest with you.
Oh, but Activision could... You know, who wouldn't want Resident Evil Pro Skater? That's all I'm saying.
It would just scare me seeing Bobby Kotick with the hands of, like, the Capcom license.
Yeah, but... Look, can you imagine Bungie now, though.
Can you imagine a DLC add-on in which you have, like, the Mega Man Blaster on Call of Duty?
That would be hilarious. Call of Duty, you get the Mega Man Blaster. You know, your melee attack would be a Hadouken. Call of Fighter.
Yeah, right. Ryu.
Yeah. I do think that EA definitely would probably get more bang out of the Capcom than Activision would, because EA does have that, you know, get this add-on for $5 and get the entire, you know, for this game, whatever fucking game, get, like, Ryu's headband and the Mega Man blaster, but so on and so forth.
I feel it has more sink and swim with, like, EA, because I feel like, yeah, I would get the most bang out of the buck, but at the same time, you know, EA has a history of, oh, you're underperforming, we're just going to liquidate you. Like, I have a feeling that would be, like, that case, too.
But I think also Capcom has...
Bastard!
Okay. I also think that Capcom has that, like, name recognition.
Yeah, that's true.
That Activision's trying to get out of Bungie right now, where... No matter what, like, they're never going to go completely under.
Yeah.
Even if they are bought out by EA. Kind of like...
BioWare. You think so? Like,
yeah, well, BioWare always had that name recognition with KOTOR and everything like that.
Yeah.
Especially with the hardcore RPG fans. So, yeah, I don't think they'd go under as fast as, say, you know, they liquidize anything.
Like a pandemic or something like that.
I mean, if you think about it, besides the Marvel vs. Capcom franchise that they have Street Fighter, Darkstalkers, Dead Rising, Resident Evil, Final Fight.
I'm still waiting for Breath of Fire, motherfuckers.
Not to mention, Capcom does have something that EA doesn't have. Capcom has great partnership with Nintendo.
That's true, too. All
right. Activision kind of has a partnership with Nintendo, but Capcom kind of supports the Nintendo franchise the same way that Hudson does.
Doesn't Capcom also, like, support Sony, though, too?
Well, that's hard to say, like, because, you know, Dead Rising.
Oh, that's true. It's
Xbox, exclusive Dead Rising 3.
That's true, too. But out of all of them, though, it's this big what-if. I guess I'm seeing is between you three, and even Nick, though, can add into this, too. Who would you feel is a better potential buyer? Or who, in your best-case scenario, who would you want to see buy Capcom, get that license?
This is out of EA and who else?
Well, no, just not even EA or Activision. Anybody. Who do you feel with, like, that? With, like, the shareholders? You heard the backstory. Basically, Capcom's, like, losing money and losing money by a lot. I think, like, as much as, like, $34 million. So, like, the shareholders basically came out earlier on in the week and said, well, didn't the day before, before they came out with this press conference saying we wouldn't mind being bought out or we're looking to be bought out, didn't, like, the executive, like, director of, like, Street Fighter basically resigned? He's like, nope, I'm gone, guys. So basically, like, legit, like, the night before and, like, the 11th hour, he's like, nope, I'm not sticking around for this. So basically, Nick, in a nutshell, the shareholders of Capcom came out and said, we wouldn't mind being bought out, which, you know, please take our debt. So out of all any, like, potential buyers, like I've been full of line, like, EA and Activision, but, like, they're probably not. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But basically, in your perfect world, who would you like to see buy Capcom?
I feel as though if EA bought it, it would do a good job with, like, visual and stuff like that, but, like, they wouldn't do it right for, like, for the games. But if Activision bought it, I think they would have a chance, a better shot of doing it right for some reason.
You know what company we haven't talked about that would be perfect to kind of incorporate the Capcom franchise? Sega. Think about this for a second. Sega is the kind of like Capcom already. Sega brought us Streets of Rage. Sega has brought us countless Sonic games. Sega has brought us Virtua Fighter, which is a very good fighting game. That's, like, you know, that they're known for. Yeah.
But everybody knows that after Sonic Boom comes out, Sega's gonna tank.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but
we didn't even think about the big players too. What about, like, if a Microsoft, a Sony, or a Nintendo like wanted to buy into the company?
I'm not sure if I've been okay if Nintendo bought it. I don't know if that would have been...
But like I said, would that make more sense? Because, like, as Ted said, they have a great relationship with Nintendo. Wouldn't that make more sense, yeah, like, if they gave Nintendo kind of, like, the edge in that?
And, you know, the way... with the Street Fighter guys stepping down, they're not going to make the edgy fucking Dead Rising or Resident Evil game that they made before. They're going to make it kiddie to go with the Nintendo crowd. They're going to bring back, you know... Oh, this is the Resident Evil I grew up on, with updated graphics. Oh, you know, we made Jill look a little bit more like a cartoon character, Chris a little bit more like a cartoon character. Alright, they would do that to fit into Nintendo's realm. I mean, and like Ryan said, you know, Sega probably is going to tank right after Sonic Boom, because Sonic Boom looks like shit. But,
well, I hope that the Atlas revenue stream revitalizes Sega and vice versa, because now that they own Atlas, I actually have to care about what happens to Sega.
No, you don't, but... I mean, Atlas does make good games. Of course, Atlas did at a time... Was it Atlas or Gameloft was just like, we're just going to do what King does. Or King actually said, we're going to do what Gameloft or Atlas does and just... You know,
that's Gameloft. Oh, you are crossing your streams there, buddy. Yeah. Atlas is a respectable company.
Okay.
Atlas is the company behind Shin Megami Tensei, and they localize... They're up there with, like, NIS and XSEED and localizing kind of quirky Japanese RPGs that otherwise wouldn't come out. And okay. They make the Persona games. They're half the team behind Persona X Fire Emblem. Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem.
Which is the one that made, like, the... The Pokemon one that was actually kind of good, but then you're just like, oh my god, this is just a Pokemon clone.
No, Atlas had nothing to do with the Pokemon game.
Okay. So yeah, I'm crossing streams.
You know who really... I don't know if they have the kind of clout to be picking up studios, but I think it would be cool if Comcept picked them up, which is actually Shinji Mikami's studio, the people who are making Mighty Nein. See, they're at the point where they had to kickstart their game, so I don't know if they're big enough to make you an acquisition.
Yeah.
That would give you that Mighty Nein meets Mega Man crossover all the fans want.
It would also... You know what, though? Why
like, if Shinji Mikami just bought Capcom, that would be awesome. Or, like, if Platinum Games were the former Clover Studios guys behind, like, Beautiful Joe and Okami and all that. What if Platinum bought Capcom?
They already have a relationship with Capcom.
Obviously. Or if Nintendo bought Capcom and then made a partnership with Platinum and folded it all together?
That would be nice.
Or ZeniMax, who owns, forget the studio, but Shinji Mikami, after he left Platinum, he formed a new studio that's owned by ZeniMax. That's the studio that's making that, he's making a game that's supposed to be like old-school Resident Evil now.
Oh, is that the one...
ZeniMax, if people don't know, is the company... I believe they're the company that also owns Bethesda.
I was about to say that, too. I wouldn't mind if, like, a Bethesda or something like that would have bought it. Just because... Not for, like, the whole Street Fighter license. Just because I kind of want to see a Fallout Resident Evil skin.
Right?
Great, wouldn't that be awesome? Or like a Mega Man type of Fallout looking thing though too. Well, like, you know, I'm Mega Man, but instead of doing like a dystopian future, I'm just going around the city and like, you know, beating these robot lords. That, I don't know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
There's gotta be some Street Fighter in there because like, Capcom is definitely based on that, like the Street Fighter and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I love Breath. I wish Breath of Fire come back. That would be awesome. That's my pipe dream. If like a Bethesda, like I don't even know, they don't even have any interest. But that would be awesome if it would. Like,
well, let's be honest. Nick was right.
Yeah.
Pretty much, Capcom's bread and butter is the fight crowd with Street Fighter.
Definitely is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Resident Evil, though, too, wouldn't that be it's like the survival horror genre for like those people who are like desperately clinging to it, too?
Yes, but the survival horror genre hasn't been survival horror for two games.
That's true. But like, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah,
like,
they said that there wasn't a market for that and they shifted to action. And what they found out was that there are action games out there already that people play and they don't go to survival horror for that.
Yeah.
So, Or, you know, Valve could just pick it up and
Mm-hmm.
Put all the all that stuff on Steam.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Yep.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
So
I hear about that guy on Steam who he fucked around with some code in order to get them to change a security flaw. Like he used whatever it was that the flaw was to get their notice because they were ignoring him. And when they changed it within like the day, and then they banned him for a year. The first comment I saw to that story was he was banned for 52 weeks. Hmm. 5 minus 2 is 3. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
You know what's really funny though?
But wouldn't it depend though, like on how like Evil Within does? Like maybe it might bring back the survival horror genre to see that possibly. Might be viable again.
Possibly, but I was just gonna comment on Ryan's thing real fast before I go to that. No, I just think it's funny that back in the day, you find a flaw in somebody's security, they give you a job. Now you get banned for a year.
Yeah.
You lose your iPhone now if you find a. You know.
Yeah, they're certainly not going to give you money.
Yeah.
Thanks for solving our fuck up for us, right?
Yeah. It's thanks like... for solving our fuck ups. Bye. If you tell anybody, we'll sue you.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but yeah, with the Evil Within, I mean, we've gotten survival horror games. We've had, what was it, Outlast? Is that the one that,
yeah.
that Mitch has been playing that he can't play at night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then there's, other ones that are all over the place, but Evil Within coming up. There was that Fatal Frame game that nobody played. But there's also, like, Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
Which causes 12-year-old girls to kill a classmate. But, no, they have... We are seeing a resurgence in the survival horror franchise, or genre, I should say. If Capcom went back to that, maybe.
Yeah.
Would they go back to it? Probably not. It seems like they've kind of lost that... inkling.
I don't think they'd have much of a say though if they got bought out by like I don't know like an EA and EA is like no you guys are making survival horror but look we got the action games no we've tried five at Resident Evil 5 and 6 it's not working out no I should try better next time
yeah
I think like if they get I think that might be a blessing in disguise because I feel like if a company buys them out and they're like, we want to go direction with this franchise, like I feel it could potentially breathe life into the Resident Evil franchise. Just like I feel like it could breathe life into other things too if they ever want to go like back to the Breath of Fire route and all that stuff too. I feel like this potentially could be good, could bring light, and even like Mega Man, because Mega Man with all the cancellations and stuff, that thing's basically like it's not even on life support anymore. It's pretty much like shoveled in the ground dead at this point. So
and I think they really do need to revitalize Mega Man and not do it like they were doing it. Not that whole, you know, we're gonna do Mega Man retro. No, we need an actual Mega Man
game.
Weren't
they even tempted to do, like, look, we're going to do, like, a Metroid Prime-looking Mega Man 2 that eventually got canceled, yeah. too.
Well, I think what we need now is, you know, Metroid of Duty. Mega Man of Duty. It's just something that's like, oh, Dr. Wily is creating an army. And so Dr. Goodlight had to create his own army.
Oh, so you're thinking about going with an FPS route?
Yeah, exactly. Just go with the FPS. You know, have like 4 or 5 different, you know, Dr. Goodlight characters that you could choose from.
Thank you.
And then have like the same on the Dr. Wily side. Hmm. And, you know, I think EA could do that with their PopCap stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Garden Warfare, the Plants vs. Zombies thing, that's basically what they do. They're just like, okay, you have these zombies that. You know, they have their own powers and everything, but they're kind of the mirror images of these plants.
Yeah.
And, you know, each thing has their own whatever, but they have a specific power that they can do.
Yeah, because you said, it's dead at this point. I mean, like, what? Whatchamacallit? They're making Mighty Nine, which is basically that Kickstarter project, which is just basically a spiritual successor, so...
Exactly. I mean, we don't need Mega Man in the form that we all remember him. We need a new Mega Man. Same thing with Street Fighter, though. You know, we got Street Fighter X Tekken. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's all good and everything like that. And at some point, we're going to get Tekken X Street Fighter.
But I don't think that's happening anymore, but...
No.
Okay. I don't think that is.
But, I mean, no one wants that. You know what people want? They want the arcade experience that they had before. Mm-hmm. What they want, and I'm saying this, you know, completely out of my ass, so everyone can disagree with me, but I think what the fighting gamers want is a Street Fighter kind of like Street Fighter X Tekken, but with all the Street Fighter characters. Just let's be able to play them all. Fuck story. Let's just have a fucking... You know, just have a fucking game. Just a fighting game. An arcade-style fighting. You didn't go to the arcade read the story of each character. You went and you were like, okay, well, I'm going to fight some random asshole who has a shitload of quarters on top of this machine. Yeah, that's...
I can concur with that.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Mortal Kombat right now. I think Mortal Kombat's going down a dangerous road. Well, this story happens within 25 years of the last Mortal Kombat. No one gives a shit. It's a fighting game.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, is there...
You'd actually be surprised, Ted.
Would I?
I had gotten into a conversation with a friend of a friend, and they weren't into getting Smash Brothers because it lacks a story.
Wow.
And so I was like, I don't play fighting games for the story. Like, if there's flavor text and an ending, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's not the deal breaker. But it turned out this person was they were either 17 or 19 years old. Like, to them, when they thought about Nintendo, they were thinking of, like, late-era N64 into GameCube for their childhood memories.
Oh,
yeah.
When they thought of, like, family-friendly Nintendo franchises, they weren't thinking, like, back when family-friendly was also, like, the most hardcore challenging games. They're thinking, like, Pokemon Snap.
Well, I guess to each era...
Yeah, Pokemon Snap's a great game, but like, a different topic.
I guess to each era is its own.
Oh, cause
I just want to know what
they grew up in that. You know how Nintendo kind of has this like they focus only on the kiddie thing, and a lot of us are still like, no, we can still find some good experiences. They grew up in like the era where that stereotype became.
Oh, cause...
they also grew up in the era of like Blaze Blue 2 and like the shitty Mortal Kombat's on the PS2 that had like long drawn out story modes. Inception, where you just played this like, yeah, exactly. And like the Naruto Ultimate Ninja, like all the anime fired game fighting games that came out that have like their story modes.
I just want to know where was the story
mode is part of a fighter.
Where was the story?
For like arcade Street Fighter.
Naruto
was
wasn't
like
heavy
story
on the story mode though.
I just want to know where was the story in Super Smash Brothers Brawl. I know they had that story mode, but that wasn't really a story. It was kind of like a side scrolling adventure mode.
That's what I see. I'm like on like
there were cutscenes.
Yeah, but there's no real story.
I'm with you guys.
You can infer something of a plot, but it's not really because none of the characters talk.
At this point,
Ness showed up. Yay!
All right, so John, what were you saying?
I'm with you guys. Like, I'm not into fighting games, but like I play fighting games just for like beat 'em up. I'm not into the story, like you said, with the whole Mortal Kombat thing. It's like I'm not into like a thing where like you know I play as Scorpion and then I'm gonna have like a Mass Effect dialogue wheel down at the bottom. So tell me, Shao Kahn, about Outworld. I'm like, what? No, like
exactly. Yeah.
No, it's not. Like, I actually liked the story of Mortal Kombat back when they weren't telling us a whole lot. That way you would beat the game with different characters and get their endings, and the next game will come out and they tell you which of those was the canon ending. You're like, oh, okay, so Liu Kang won the tournament, and, oh, that was cool, and you would get a feel for the characters and kind of, like, the general idea of what the plot was. That was cool. When they came out on PS2, and it was all, like, here's cutscenes on, like, every so often, and, you know, Ted, you pointed out Conquest Mode, like, I really lost a lot of interest.
Yeah.
I agree with you on
this point. To this day, even though everyone says the last Mortal Kombat was a return to form, I still haven't played it. Like, I only played it for like an hour when someone brought it to my house.
No, I agree with you on that aspect. Like the arcade games, I don't mind, playing it, and then at the end they give me a little scrolling. That's good. I'm totally for that. But it's like, I don't want like a Mass Effect or like, I don't want RPG like story in my fighting game. I'm like, all right, I don't need the need all this. Just give me a little ending scroll of what happens.
We don't need the scroll, like a different scroll after each fucking battle.
Yeah.
Of because of this, the war in Japan feuded on, while the war in Outworld was ceasing.
Because you beat Jax, you know, Outworld consumed the United States as western section of the United States of America. I'm like, what? No.
And then you go to the next fight, and then there's another one after that. And it's kind of like, it's far too much. I think what I really want is I want that game where it will randomly put me up against an opponent, kind of almost like Killer Instinct.
It's like
where they'll just randomly put me up against an opponent and I will just fight. There's no real.
We've already talked about this.
I guess it's kind of like the where's my fighting game in my fighting game.
Exactly.
That's really like...
Yeah. And I think that's what.
Oh, like playing Blaze Blue?
Yeah.
It's like you'll remember to have some fights in your fighting game, right? In this visual novel for a while.
It was the same thing with remember Power Stone? Power Stone did the exact same thing. Like, after every fight, there would be, like, a 3-page fucking novel that you'd, that you'd, like, go through. And then you're like, okay, next fight. And the only time you could have a real good challenge is when you had 4 people over at your house playing this game.
You know, if you want story, I like the way SNK tends to do it nowadays, where it's just that each character has, like, specific dialogue with other characters.
Yeah.
Like, SVC Chaos was pretty cool with that. Like, you get, like, Akuma versus one of the SNK characters, and they would say something kind of unique, and it'd be kind of badass. Even Capcom's done that before. Like, Street Fighter Alpha 3, certain characters knew each other, would have certain specific intros. Like, Ryu and Ken would fist bump. If Ryu was fighting Sagat, Sagat would, like, clutch his scar like, you motherfucker. And you knew. You knew what was up, but you didn't need a cutscene for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You even get that a little bit in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You know, my favorite being whenever Deadpool is your first character and Magneto is the first character on the other side. Deadpool just goes, "Oh, Magneto, welcome to die." Totally making fun of the Konami X-Men arcade game.
X-Chicken.
So, yeah, I think that's what Capcom has to do. It has to have a real fighting game and not, you know, here is the newest edition of fucking Super Street Fighter 4. You know, there's the new edition of Super Street Fighter 4, Ultra Super Street Fighter 4, and they kind of made fun of themselves with the new Dead Rising DLC.
Yeah.
Ultra Super Dead Rising 3. Alpha, Omega, or whatever. But yeah, that's what they do. They're just like, we're going to just keep on putting the same game out and hope that you don't notice that it's the same game, even though we have the same name with one little change. And that's probably why they're in trouble.
Street Fighter became Madden.
Yeah. But not even a good version of the characters never changed. It just like we added this new combo system. It wasn't
I remember your hi, and I just remember your name because my dad told me. Your name's Nick.
What?
Okay. Well, hi Casey.
Ed.
Hey Casey.
Hi.
Did Casey just say my name?
Yeah, Casey said your name.
That's why I got graduation presents because I graduated today.
You got graduation presents because you graduated today? What'd you get, Casey?
Two toys.
You got two toys?
A sucker's toy and How to Train Your Dragon toy.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Nice.
Also a video game.
Jessica.
Oh, what video game?
Zombies Garden Field. So now I'm not making that rule anymore because I got it.
Nice.
Did you ask your dad for money, Casey? You should definitely ask him for money.
Always.
Just playing Titanfall.
Alright, well, you know,
let's,
oh my god,
let's go from here to the movie Rama. Not much happening in the world of movies right now. I will say there was a little thing about Ant-Man. Apparently the newest rumor is that Marvel wanted a more comic book version of Mark Spector in the Ant-Man movie. For those of you who aren't comic book fans, Mark Spector is also known as Moon Knight. He was kind
Egyptian of Batman. What?
Yeah, Marvel Batman, but not really Batman. The Marvel's Green Arrow. But no, Marvel's Arrow, I should say.
Arrow.
Yeah, Arrow, not Green Arrow is Hawkeye.
Yeah, Marvel's Arrow.
Isn't basically the spiritual successor to Batman like Mysterion from South Park?
Oh, well, he's what do you call?
Yeah, kind of.
But so he's a split. He's got a split personality, brooding motherfucker, who's also a cop, who's brought back to life, by an Egyptian god. To do the Egyptian's god's bidding, so kind of like Nicolas Cage's character in Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance. You know, he's probably going to be sitting there scratching at the door. But
I forgot about that movie too. Thank you, Ted, for bringing me up.
But Marvel wanted to include Moon Knight apparently, and Edgar Wright was just like, no, that's not in our script. We can't do that. And that's why Edgar Wright left. Why no other director will pick this motherfucking movie up, I have no idea. You know, we talked about Adam McKay.
I did not fucking call was my in Titan. It,
and he was going to do it, and then he had other things, and he had to step down. There was also Rawson something or other. I can't remember his name. He stepped down from doing it. They're showing, also Marvel directors are showing their support, with James Gunn tweeting, that he loves, Cornetto, which is what Edgar Wright calls his trilogy of movies with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And, Joss Whedon also tweeted a picture of him holding a Cornetto bar, which is, a candy bar in England. It's like chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. So, you know, I guess I'm not sure if we're going to actually see Ant-Man next year. But that's good because apparently we are getting Doctor Strange. The guy who wrote Prometheus is now on board to write Doctor Strange. Mm. So if it is basically just Alien again, I'm going to piss myself in anger in the theater. While I'm watching it, because everyone like fights me on this, but Prometheus is basically just Alien redone. It's the same movie. I'm also getting shit about Maleficent. By the way, spoilers: if you haven't seen Maleficent, just watch Frozen. It's the better version. I do have to say, Maleficent did something brave, where they kind of had a metaphor for rape in the movie.
Isn't Frozen just basically a Lion King ripoff, though, too?
No. Not really, because there's actually, like, you know, there's, like, only somebody can romantically love you into doing what you need to do. Where Frozen is kind of like, you know, it doesn't have to be romantic love, it can be love of family. And in Maleficent, it's just like, yeah, it doesn't have to be romantic love, and family is who you choose. Not, you know, who you're born to. But basically, the character arcs are almost identical between Frozen and Maleficent. Thank you, Nick.
What?
We heard you say that you died 9 times.
I can't believe that.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to die 9 times. That's way too high.
And, you know, I'll put the releases up on the blog. I can't remember them off the top of my head, and it's too much work to go all the way over to the iPad to put them up. So let's just get into Gaming Corner. Ryan, do you have anything?
What have you guys been playing, first off?
Playing, well, see, I've been playing Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which, if I heard Casey right, we'll be playing that later on. And that's about it, besides the Titanfall that I played with you earlier.
I'm playing Titanfall right now.
Dragon Age 2. Yeah.
Has anyone been playing Kim Kardashian Hollywood?
No.
No.
Maybe.
Create your own aspiring celebrity and rise to fame and fortune in a premium iOS/Facebook game.
Wait. Do I get to fuck Kanye? Because if I do, I'm going to burn my computer right now.
Oh, go be a gay fish.
You do get to date B-grade, ambiguously brown celebrities.
Oh, so I gotta fuck Ray J first.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Has there anybody that basically piggybacked off their, like, other sibling success more than, like, Ray J? Hey, guys, Brandy's my sister.
No, wait. I can name one. Khloe Kardashian.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, but Ray J was the original. I mean, like, Ray J is, hey, Brandy's my sister.
Yeah, that's
hey,
true.
Guys, Brandy's my sister. Look, I could do a rap career.
Look, I'm in Moesha.
Yeah, exactly. No nepotism here. Yeah. But I think, like, the Smith kid...
This isn't gaming news, but it was kind of making the rounds. Did you guys hear that Japan has banned child pornography?
Finally? Is that the right...
Did you guys know that Japan had not previously... banned child pornography?
I give that about a year. Because this is like the
but
same...
But it's not... It's only for, like, physical...
So,
like,
wait.
A child.
Wait, Ryan. Just to
play
off of that and something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, are you saying that the island of Japan was Pedo Isle?
Yes.
I love that. Like, really, they just...
That was conceptual Pedo Isle.
This is...
Because you can still, if you can't abuse an actual child on camera anymore, but if you want to draw a child being raped by tentacles, hentai is still safe.
I was just about to say that, too. I'm like, this is coming from a country that has, like, you know, like, anime and stuff about, like, school, Japanese school girls getting raped by tentacle creatures. All right, I want to see how long this lasts.
Oh. Sensei.
By the way, I love anime, by the way. I'm just saying, I mean...
I love hentai, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's...
I will say, I don't want to say in defense of, because, wow, not a bridge to die on, right, guys?
Yeah.
But I believe, like, this kind of thing has come up in Japan before. Actually, this kind of thing comes up in different countries. Like, you hear about sometimes, like, a dude in Pennsylvania or someone in, like, Switzerland or something getting busted with, like, a lolicon manga. And the argument's always kind of like, it's as a picture, it's not actually a child, even if the artist's interpretation representing a child, no actual young human being was injured or abused in the depiction of that image. should we be banning ink and thought?
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Did anyone see the movie That's My Boy?
No.
With Adam Sandler?
Yes, I did.
There's a whole part where the kid, like the kid that eventually grows up to be Adam Sandler, is caught boinking his teacher. And the kid is like 14 years old. You don't see it actually happening, but, you know, the teacher's tits are out and, you know, you see it like from behind, like softcore style.
Is
that considered child porn, even though it's not actually happening?
Well, what Ryan's saying, I mean, like, with the whole hentai and all that stuff, I mean, I'm fine with it unless, like, you know, people don't act on said things that are going on in magazine, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if it's for reading purposes and for, like, I don't want to... It's for, like, people's entertainment purposes.
I know what you're saying. I know... We know, none of us want to sound like we're coming down, like, pro depictions of children, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. If it's for
entertainment. But that said, like, okay, I enjoy playing Grand Theft Auto and watching action flicks. That doesn't mean I'm a violent psychopath.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
so by the same token, if somebody enjoys lolicon art, does that mean they're a pedophile?
As long as you're not,
I'm not a psychologist.
Just
I'm
because
not
I blow up,
just because I think
don't play Battlefield and blow up a building doesn't mean I'm a terrorist.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I think if you're, you know, if you're blowing up a building in Battlefield and that gets you sexually aroused and you bust a nut, maybe. Just saying. Same thing if you're, like, but reading this, like, hentai stuff.
I have the right to do that if I want.
Yeah, he Nick's absolutely right. What he does in his house is, like, for, like...
As long as I don't bring it out in public.
But if it's, like, what do you call it? Here's the thing. If
I go to my house and I see him busting a nut playing my Battlefield in my room. Like, what are you doing? Like,
Battlefield Hardline.
I'm like, don't mind me,
I
dude.
Think I would disagree with that very strongly, but I don't know if I think that individual should be arrested.
No, yeah, I don't.
My thing exactly. is, like, as long as they're not acting on said things, I'm cool with it. If they understand, if that line isn't blurred, if they understand this is entertainment as opposed to, like, you know, I understand what's going on, but it's not like, wow, I just seen a child get molested. I'm going to go and act on said thing, too, because it looks cool. Then, like, yeah, I'm not for that, but...
Exactly. I mean...
I'm just saying, like, you can't, or judge, or actually, rather, you can't pull an action on somebody's thoughts. Because then everybody would... Yeah. What happened?
No, Nick basically said you can't, like, arrest or act on somebody for said thoughts if they have these thoughts, because if they don't act on these said thoughts, then you're basically just going on hearsay and stuff, and that basically blurs the line.
So yeah, like, you can't possess depictions of child, you know, stuff in Japan anymore, because that's actual abuse. There's actual children involved.
Yeah.
But the drawing is a bit of a different thing. That's why I kind of brought the video games thing. Like, you arrest somebody for actually shooting people, not for reading fiction or, you know, writing poems or playing video games that address violence.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like I get my morals from a video game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if somebody has a picture of, like, 8-year-old something or other, then, yeah, they're disgusting as far as their perversions go, and maybe there's even a case for should they have some sort of counseling. I don't know if you just outright arrest them as if it were
child. You can't. You can't do that unless they act on it and...
It's just like, you know, what's that...
Maybe keep them away from parks with little kids.
Yeah.
You know, but... Other than that, there's not really... I'm not saying arrest them or anything for, like, looking at this stuff if they're doing it in their own house. If they're bringing it out into public, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to, like, our place of employment that shall not be named, and I go to Nick and Ted in the break room, like, hey, do you want to see my child pornography books here? They're tasteful, I swear.
Yeah. I mean... Though, how many times have we been in the break room and, like, there's girls showing around their phone of the member of said boyfriend that they've had for about 2 days? How many times have we walked in on that shit?
Good times, right?
Yeah.
No, obviously, I hope the FBI isn't listening here, but I was actually thinking not too long ago that I need to go deep into my closet or, like, storage and stuff, too. I definitely have bins that I'm 31 and I don't touch them or have any need to, but I know there's some stuff from, like, when I was in middle and high school, and some of that might fall into that category. Like, when you're 16 and you have, like, an erotic drawing of the Sailor Moon cast, whatever. But when you're 31, it's like, those are teenage girls.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking, I was like, I should go through and just find any, like, eroticas from, like, weird Lemon fanfiction archives I used to frequent.
You
know, I was, like, 15 years old.
You know, Ryan,
and, like, burned them.
You just, you made me think of something. I'm hoping that my wife doesn't listen to this. But there was a girl that I never actually touched her, but I videotaped her with another guy when I was in high school. And I still had that tape until I was in my 20s. I think when I found the tape again is when I destroyed it. But yeah, it was basically child porn because she was 16.
Well, I know where you guys are coming from.
I mean, yeah, that's a weird thing too. Where does that? She was, I believe, if I am to believe anything, I believe of the age of 18 at this point. But I have somewhere on some digital camera in the house, I have a video of an ex-girlfriend / baby mama who at the time was telling me was in the 2-0 range and was really in the 1-1/ number range.
Yeah.
At the time of this video was of the age of consent, but like had this been taken God earlier in the relationship, suddenly I'm committing a felony.
Yeah, you're the sicko. That's the problem. Because see, that sucks when lines like that get blurred and stuff, and it's like what your story.
Yeah, and also too, when you talk about a collection, I don't think possession doesn't care when collection was acquired.
Yeah,
yeah. So in other words, everyone can see the history now.
Like I just said, an anime thing I maybe had from when I was 15, if someone were to raid my closet and find it, it'd be like, ew, Ryan. I'd be like, what? I haven't been in that closet in like 10 years.
Yeah. You know, though, I would be like that. I'd believe if I could raid like anybody's closet here and find stuff, everybody has stuff from the past that like they thought was cool now look back that and said, like, I wouldn't judge. Like, if you're like, I'm like, whatever, you know what I mean? I know I have a couple of skeletons in my closet. Everybody does. It's like, whatever, you know?
That's where that phrase comes from, skeletons in the closet. Like,
nobody.
You know, like you said, with that video you were just talking about, if, you know, if that were to somehow surface, would that be something dumb you did as a kid?
Yeah.
No, people would be looking at you now at your current age and be like, why do you have this?
Well, the thing is, like you said, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of stuff in my closet up in my attic that, like, I haven't touched since I was, like, between the ages of 14 and 18 that now I'll probably look like, oh, man, that's embarrassing. But, you know, like you said, everybody's had that phase in their life where they have shit that they're not, you know, proud of or they thought was cool. Now I look back at it, it's like, wow, it's kind of dumb. So I don't judge. I'm like, you know, like I said, I have a bunch of stuff in my attic and closet that I'm pretty, if people look now, they're like, yep, that's basically a time frame of my life between the awkward years.
Oh, yeah. You know, that age when you were totally lying on the internet that you were 18?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I'm 18. And I am allowed to watch this.
My very awesome video collection of Vanessa Del Rio.
Vanessa Del Rio. I was a Heather Hunter fan, yeah. Ryan, while we're getting to this porn subject, favorite porn star when you were a kid? Or Nick?
What?
My favorite porn star?
As a kid.
Can't say I necessarily had one. I watched a lot of porn.
Ryan, did you have a favorite porn star as a kid?
Michael Jordan.
What?
Who?
Jordan.
I said porn star.
Porn? Oh, I thought you said Michael B. Jordan. Oh, okay. I thought you said sports star, which I thought was a random change of topics, and now that I heard you correctly, probably Jenna Hayes.
But you said porn star Brendan.
I was just like, I never saw the Michael Jordan porn. I've seen the Hulk Hogan one.
No, there actually is a porn star Michael Jordan, though.
Oh, okay.
My answer is technically correct.
All right.
If I had to pick, like, I'd probably go with, Jenna Hayes, or, sure, stick it with that.
Okay. I had a...
She's still doing, I should, like, Google Jenna Hayes and see if anything pops up.
I've always had a thing for, like, girls with really curly hair, so that was why, you know.
It's like there's probably still stuff What's-Her-Face does, Sasha Banks.
There's Sasha Grey now. Gianna Michaels.
She's all legitimate and like starring in indie films.
What, Sasha Grey?
Sasha Grey, yeah.
Yeah. Also,
she retired years ago.
James Dean as well.
Yeah, she like writes books and stars in independent movies.
Yeah.
You know what's funny though? Sasha Grey's like 20. She's like younger than me. She's like, yeah, man. I was a circuit on the porn. So I'm like, my God, what?
I did 600 films in 3 years.
Sasha Grey. I think she's like younger than me.
Oh yeah.
Like, and she's like a veteran in the porn star.
I did like Sasha, and like you know like I followed Sasha on Twitter, and like I actually think she's a cool chick. I had trouble with some of her, like, I have trouble with, like, that kind of super extremist type of porn. When she's taking, like, three in the one hole while, like, screaming and spitting on people, like, it just kind of pulls me out of the whole scenario.
At this point, I'm hoping that Casey is not in the room.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not a good example.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because there's this one film that she was in where it involved the bathroom, and she was, like, licking the toilet, which is forever she legit, like, licked the side of, like, the toilet, and now, like, that picture is forever on a meme, and it says it's her licking the toilet in, like, a choker chain, and it says hashtag feminism.
Oh.
Hashtag what?
Feminism.
Feminism.
Oh, she was reclaiming her right to sexuality.
Okay.
I don't know. Dude, don't even use that word, because I don't know what it means anymore.
So, moving on, do we have any other gaming news? On that note...
About actual games?
I'm a bash, by the way, for any female listeners, all two of you.
I would never make out with
her. It's the confusion of a man raised by a feminist in the 80s. Nowadays, that concept is so splintered between, like, the quality-wanting people, the we-can-do-what-we-want-wanting people, and the fuck-you-you're-a-male people.
Yeah. Wonder what viewing this is.
Thank you. And by the way, thank you, Ted. That was my first reaction to that, too. My reaction, like, ugh. I've seen plenty of stuff that's happened on the side of a toilet enough to know that I would never make out with that chick even if she presented herself. Stuff like that just skeeves me.
Right? I met Sasha Grey at a book signing event. She gave me a kiss on the cheek. I need a tetanus shot.
And I have these weird bumps.
Ugh.
Oh, my cheek. It's weird.
Yeah, anyways, any more gaming stuff before I decide to...
Yeah, any more gaming news?
I need to take a shower.
Yeah.
This would be my second one.
I think the only other big thing I read was that PS4 has like preloading now.
Oh yeah. They started that.
Like you can do on like Steam and stuff where you can download the game ahead of time, so like at midnight that night you can just fire it up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's convenient.
It waits until like midnight that night to give you that 1% that you really need to actually start the game.
And
yeah.
Go.
Yeah, I heard that too. I didn't know that was already in effect. I thought that wasn't going to be in effect for a little while now. So.
Oh, also, another weird thing is in Japan, Wii U is currently king of this generation's consoles.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's look at this logically.
That's because the Xbox One doesn't yet exist and the PS4 is super new.
Yeah, and the PS4 is also... they never fixed the bricking issue in Japan yet. PS4s are still bricking.
Isn't the reason why, though, that, like Xbox, like, any of the consoles in general don't sell well in Japan is because they charge out ridiculous tariffs and stuff on it? That's why...
Not as much now that China is creating the Xbox Ones.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as hefty a fee to go through.
I bet you Nintendo's message resonates more in Japan, too.
Probably, yeah.
Like, America, the land of, like, Schwarzenegger films and Die Hard, and we want, like, all these gritty games. We want Mass Effect, where, like, the universe is raped by giant machines and...
But isn't that the market?
Land that birthed Moe and Catgirls.
But
of course, Mario and his goofy suits are going to be million sellers.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is like as much as Nintendo, as much as they want to appeal to their own country's, you know, happy that it's selling in Japan, isn't like the moneymaker, though, like the North American market anyway, is in terms of like selling and stuff, so.
North America and Europe.
Well, because Japan, at the end of the day, is a country, is a, an island country.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really can't deny that North American money.
But from what I heard about this generation consoles, granted it's been out like a year and a half later than like the X-Bone and like the PS4. I know like PS4 is like still on the top like nationwide, but isn't like the Wii U closely creeping up like in like a close second?
The PS... Wii was the best-selling in the world. The Wii U is the best-selling console in the world for the first half of this year. Close behind was the PS4 and then the Xbox One. So, yeah, I mean, and with the Xbox One's newest thing of, you know, selling it without the Kinect, it's all going to go skyrocketing anyway. The PS4 versus the Xbox One.
Because from like, because I thought from when I checked last time, it was like PS4 was in one, but it wasn't like a stable number one. Because I thought the Wii U was closely, but then again, like I said, like I don't know, like that. It's take what you want. Like you could either look at it like glass half full, like oh wow, good for the Wii U being a close second to Sony, or you could look at glass glass half empty, like oh yeah, but it's been out for a year and a half. What does that say really about that?
Interesting. So, I mean, one other gaming news thing, Ryan, that I found out. You can already download Minecraft map packs and all of that stuff, all the Minecraft stuff for the Minecraft Xbox One Edition. You can already download that stuff. Though Minecraft Xbox One Edition will not be out until August. So I'm not sure why you'd want to download all that.
Okay.
Oh, and the other thing, too, is we have confirmation of N64 games coming to Wii U Virtual Console. We don't have any other information on that, but...
Oh, they already have one, though, don't they? They have Mario Kart 64. Is that on the Virtual
Console? I don't think so.
Mario. That was the one of the games you could get with their rewards program for the Wii U.
What?
Yeah. And usually it will say.
What are you talking about?
Usually it'll say like Wii U.
If Mario Kart 64 is on the shop, I would have it because I have it on Wii and I would have unlocked it already.
Okay.
What rewards program are you talking about?
The rewards program. You know, the one where you put in your Nintendo rewards. You know that one? You put in your little code?
That probably was, but that was for the Wii version. Just like Zelda was. Like, I got a link to the patch of that program, but it didn't go to my Wii U until they actually put it out on the Wii U shop, and then I paid the upgrade fee.
Okay.
Oh, we'll use, they still put Wii games and DSi games on that program.
Yeah. But it said specifically Wii U, so maybe they just went for the Wii U version, for the Wii version of the Wii U, or the, you know what I'm talking about, when you go to the backwards compatibility thing, you know, that special Wii app on the Wii U.
Go to the Wii menu on your Wii U to play this game.
Okay.
That's on the Club Nintendo page for Mario Kart 64.
Okay.
So it's fine. The Wii version.
I must say, this has been a very varied podcast. In between Shaggy dying, talking about the Wii, you know, Capcom being bought out, then like what in fact is the difference between feminism now and then, and talking about Sasha Gray's, you know, discoverography. So it's been pretty...
the Japanese stance on child pornography.
Yeah, it's been pretty varied today.
Yeah. Wait, before we leave everyone, do we have any Tales from the East?
Actually, no. There has been nothing new.
Turnbuckle?
As everybody knows, this is late, but Daniel Bryan's been stripped of the title because of a neck injury, so who knows when he's going to be out, and anybody but John Cena.
Really?
That's my opinion. Anybody but John Cena. They've been to that well one too many times before, and I'm not ready to see it for the 1,568th time.
Is he in the match? The 7-man match?
Yes, he's in the match. Okay. Basically,
I haven't watched this week yet.
It's so. Basically the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and whoever gets the Money in the Bank briefcase wins the title. It's up for grabs. So the people involved right now, as of right now, it's Antonio Cesaro, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, and a couple others. Like I haven't crossed my mind.
Randy Orton. But that's another one that we don't need to see. Yeah. Randy Orton
put the belt on Brock Lesnar. That's just me. He ended Undertaker's streak. You got it. You put it on him. That's me.
Why not? You know, why not Seth Rollins though? Like, I would love to see this whole Shield versus Shield.
I think it's too early for that. I just say, just like, you know, every, like, to me, you, I thought it was a dumb decision to have Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker for the streak, but to invalidate the stat in any way form, you got to put the belt on him. Don't, like.
Oh, yeah. But we haven't seen Brock Lesnar since WrestleMania.
Yeah. They just got him. I don't know. I'm for it.
Yeah, I mean, I would be all for it if we saw him. But, yeah, I mean, if he comes back
Well, the thing is, for him with that intestinal problem and stuff, he can't wrestle a full-time schedule because, like, for health complications and stuff. So, he has to make a couple appearances. I'm not asking him to, like, wrestle all the time, but, like, if he wrestles, like, a pay-per-view, like, a month, and then, like, you know, just makes appearances on the TV with the belt, I'll be cool with that. I'm not asking him to wrestle, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't have to wrestle every night. No, let's be honest. Fucking Randy Orton didn't wrestle every night when he had the title.
That's true.
But,
yep, that's it. Title up for grabs. Anybody but Cena, anybody but Orton. Please find a way to put Brock Lesnar on that and put the belt.
I also wouldn't mind if Batista came back and just completely screwed everybody. I think that would be hilarious.
See that pay-per-view, Blutista? Yeah, like Blutista. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Which, it also makes me wonder if they're ever going to do what I really want to see in wrestling, which is have, like, the worlds collide.
Yeah.
And just have, you know, two factions just go head-to-head. And then have that interlying faction that just takes out everything. And then have, like, watch the WWE pick itself up from that.
That's pretty cool.
You know, just something that would be kind of comic book inspired. Instead of this, oh, we're going to do, you know, Guiding Light.
Yeah.
It just seems, I'm surprised that we haven't seen, you know, Batista come back and go, that was my twin brother. Like, not that we haven't seen that before anyway. Fucking Dude Love sitting with Cassius Jack.
And Mankind.
And Mankind. Do you remember that?
When he's in the Royal Rumble three times.
Anybody watch the new 24? Anybody's excited about that?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen it.
I missed the last one where apparently, like, the president was going to get nuked in Wembley Stadium, but it should be interesting.
I won't give you a spoiler then.
All right, well,
that's my turn.
That's it for us this week. Next week we'll have a regular podcast, and then I think, July now is Comic-Con, so we should be getting some more news. Next week's probably going to be light on news again, just because I'm pretty sure everyone's saving up their stuff for Comic-Con. So, yep. Have a good evening or morning or whenever the hell you're listening to this. And we'll see you next week, guys.
See ya.
Late.
You just listened to a Hybrid Works Network podcast. Don't you feel good about yourself now? No? Oh, sorry.